I greet you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I count it quite a privilege to be here again this morning. A little over a year ago, you had a baby dedication as well, which was also one of Robert's grandchildren, so I count it a real blessing. There's something about children that is just powerful. And I do need to straighten up Mary's story just a little bit. Unless you children go home to your parents and say that Benny was disobedient, he was naughty. Well, I will assure you this, I had my mother's permission to do what I did. And maybe I shouldn't have to add this, but I will. It is the truth. He was upstairs, and rather than come down through my bedroom and through the kitchen, he jumped out the window so that I would not run after him. Well, I didn't run after him. I laid quiet. I have a little reading that I just discovered here recently that's been in my Bible for years, and it's turned brown. You can see it's been around a while. But it's a powerful little message, and I thought it was very appropriate to read here this morning. And it is anonymous, so I don't know who to give it credit for. 100 years from now, it will not matter the type of car you drove, the house you lived in, or the amount of money in the bank, but the world can be different if you were important in the life of a child. That's a powerful little message. One of our deacons at home is involved in our school, and he often makes this comment. He has six children, two sets of twins, by the way. And he makes this comment. He said, it takes a village to raise a child. In other words, not just the parents' duty, if it's all ours together. And this is one of the tremendous blessings of the Christian church, or of the church, the bride of Christ, to be a part of this, of children. It was either the day after Thanksgiving, just this past Thanksgiving, or maybe 2 days after, either Friday or Saturday. We didn't have any school that day. And I was at Lowe's and kind of wandering around in there looking at some things. And all of a sudden, to my right, I saw some children from our church walking past. And when they saw me, they smiled and went like that. And here it was, this same brother and his family. Now, his children are the age from 5, I think, up to 18. And it was just a warmth that went through my soul, my life, when I saw this. So later I called him. I said, you say it takes a village to raise a family. And I knew they were remodeling their house. And I said, I discovered it takes a family to make a decision to purchase something at Lowe's. And that blessed my heart. I said, you need to count it a blessing, in spite of the fact that your children are already 18 years old, one of them, and another one is also a member of the church, that they enjoyed going with mom and dad and the rest of the children to make a purchase. Now, I know they don't always do that, but I wanted him to know that I noticed that, and I was blessed by it. And I hope he passed it on to his children. I don't know if he did or not. And another thing I saw in one of the newspapers yesterday that certainly burdened my heart, and I'm not sure if I wrote it down quite correctly or not, but it was right on the top. It said, over 3 million people and grandparents in the United States are raising their children's children. Can you imagine that? Over 3 million people in the United States are raising their children's children. Well, our dear neighbors across the street, he has cancer to deal with, And they were telling us that her parents, who I've known since I was a young boy, or at least young married, and they said their daughter died. Now they have the grandchildren. They have one that is separated from her husband and her children living in their house. And he said that's quite a responsibility. They're in their 80s. How sad that is today. I'd just like to encourage you young people, you children here this morning. If you have parents or those you call parents, you have a tremendous blessing. And you need to recognize their love for you and their desire to be an example. And these grandparents, uncles and aunts that are here this morning, they are here to walk beside you, encourage you. And what a blessing that is. Robert was 12 and I was 9 when our father died. And there's one thing I have that I'm not ashamed to say. I did not always walk. I am ashamed to say part of it, of course. I didn't always walk the way that I should have. But one thing that I will be eternally grateful for, and that is the impact of others in my life. And that is so important that we recognize that we are not made to walk in this life alone. God has created us as a togetherness, and that's a tremendous blessing. The message that I felt led to speak on this morning is, it's not new to you, I'm sure. If it knew, you wouldn't be here today. But it is a, I want this to be just to remind us of the blessing again that we have. Those of you that get beside the still waters just a few days ago, there was an Arctic old hat. If you didn't read it, you probably should. I encourage you to. But the Pete Lewis from Oregon. But what he's really saying there is this young man had a real bright, shiny truck with all the chrome and all the whistles that you can imagine. He said it doesn't have just heated seats, but has a heated steering wheel. Well, there's times I wouldn't mind grabbing hold of that steering wheel, but I don't have one of those. But then he went on to say that 2 years later, you know, he's very particular how you sat in it and what you brought in it and all that. 2 years later, it's old hat. Doesn't make that much difference. And my wife reminded me that's kind of the way I treat my vehicles. But then he went on to say that can be the same thing in our church life. It becomes so used that it's just old hat. And we aren't as enthused about it as we were the day we entered it. The title I have given here is, I Will Build My Church. That wasn't Mary's statement. It wasn't my statement. It is a statement of Jesus Christ. And we need to recognize that. But again, this morning, I'm here to encourage you and to remind you of the blessing of being a part of a church, the family of God. Are you part of the family of God? Now, if you'd be a Trump and you're here this morning, you'd probably feel kind of proud that your father is the President of the United States. There's some things that you may not be so proud of. But what I'm saying here this morning, it's a far greater privilege to be a child of God and a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. And let it not be old hat, but let it be a blessing. We're not all perfect, we know that. But we know a perfect God, and we can have a perfect relationship with Him as we follow Him. Just want to give you some simple definitions here that you already know, I'm sure. According to Strong's in the New Testament, there's approximately 80 times the word church. But I hadn't quite noticed this before until recently. In the four Gospels, the word church is found only 3 times. And that is in Matthew 16:18, and twice in Matthew 18, verse 17. And we'll take time to read those. And after his resurrection, he chose the 12, or even before that, the disciples, then also the apostles. And they were given the Word of Life, they were given a lot of instructions on how to begin the church and the kingdom of God. And I think we need to recognize that. Strong's also says this, the Greek word, a calling out of, especially a religious congregation, Jewish synagogue or Christian community of members on earth, or saints in heaven, are both an assembly God. And what a blessing that is as we think about that. I think we will turn to Matthew 16 there and just read a little bit. There are so many verses that talk about the church that we won't near be able to look at all of them this morning. But I'd like to look at some of them. Matthew chapter 16. Begin reading in verse 13, where he says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a blessing as we think of that. Then going to verse 18, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon the rock, this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose in earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, I know there's difference of opinion about this, but I just like to read something that I have written down here about verse 18. Peter, rock, church in the Greek, Peter is Petros, and rock is Petra. The rock on which the church is built may be Peter's inspired confession of faith, Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It may be Peter himself, since Ephesians 2:20 says, indicates that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Then adds, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now let's remember that Jesus is the true cornerstone. And then Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Never forget that. Jesus Christ is the true foundation. And he's the one that gave his life for the church. And how important we need to recognize that. Now we'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And we want to read 16 verses here. And it's so beautiful as we think of the church and how we find different ways that it speaks about the church. Here it is about the body. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Art one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that ascended, descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And let's notice what he did here for the building of the church. And he gave some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. And that all was for a purpose. Now look what it says in verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Do we accept that? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. And let's notice what it says in verse 13. And that again includes all of us. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Is that beautiful? Have you heard it before? Sure you have. But it's not old hat. It's truth. And it's eternal. It always will be that way. On this side of heaven. And then our reward is awaiting us up there. Because of Jesus' provision. But while we're here on this earth, we are here together as a body of believers. And God has placed different members in the body of Christ for the purpose to edify, that we might all, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Praise God. Till we all come in the unity of faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And one other thing that's very important in the day that we're living, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is ahead, even Christ. Then this other beautiful verse here, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making an increase in the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You may just be a joint. You may just be hidden inside the body. But you are part of the body. If you're a child of God and you're a part of the body of this church, then you have a place. God has a place for you. Even there, and the Bible very clearly in another place says, some members aren't that visible. They don't seem to be that important. And yet, they're all there. I have a relative that he's very health-minded, and I'm not here to criticize that. But along with the health-minded, he's critical of the medical profession. And just recently, we got in a little discussion again. And they don't always get it right. I agree with that. But we do some things we don't always just get right either. Do you ever think about that? And so he was, kind of blowing off again. And I said, there's one thing that I want you to think about. I said, they don't always get it just right. But I said, there's one thing we need to remember, that God has created this body and these members in such a way, so exact, and all have such a purpose in the functioning of the body, that doctors can figure out some things they couldn't if God didn't have us created so perfectly. I know my brother has heard me say this so many times. I hope he doesn't get tired of it. But in our community, he was there before I moved there, was a Amish church, and they had an older Amish preacher. And even today, and he's been gone many years, even today when you get together as reunions or from all over the place, school reunions, etc., oftentimes that man's life and example is mentioned. And I remember as a young boy, they used to say, and I heard Amish people say, when they were starting to, getting ready to go to the moon, and they would say, God will never allow man to get to the moon. They just won't allow it. But this Amish preacher would say this. I think, he said it in Dutch, of course. I'll do my best to tell you in English. And he said, he thinks it's so marvelous that God created the earth so exact that they could get to the moon. And I agree with that. If it would not be so exact, they couldn't get there. They couldn't figure out the proper timing. And I'm not sure they needed to go there, but that's beside the point. They say they'd been there. But just remember, it's the greatness of our God. And you know, that older brother wasn't saying, hey, you know, they'll never make it to the moon. He was giving God the glory. And that's what the church of Jesus Christ and every child of God should be concerned about, is bringing God the glory. And what a tremendous blessing as we think of that. All right, now, I'm just going to add this a little bit. We had a 50th anniversary in our congregation back in October, and I was asked to preach that message. We had been involved in the church all 50 years from the beginning, and I hear this sometimes, not as young as I used to be, and I've been around a few years, but I hear this sometimes, especially of younger married couples. I'm not picking on you this morning, but this is kind of the way it is sometimes. They say, you know, I just wish we were in a church where there'd be more people our age, where we could do things together. Well, you'll find out this preacher is one that is concerned about cliques. I was very involved in a situation in another community one time, you know, when there were cliques of relationships. And if those aren't guarded, things can happen that were not intended to happen. And they hadn't intended to happen. But then I began to think, when our church started, my wife and I were like 15 years younger than the other two couples that were part of the church. And then we had some young people that were actually older than we were. And there were times we'd drive past these places and their families were gathered together and we just had young children. You know, it kind of worked on me a little bit. But our children were at the age, and because others were older, that they began to see the examples of other young people older than them and other older people. And I still contribute that to a blessing and a strength for our own family. And I believe that that it's good to mix with our, take our children to visit and to share with others that they are part, even to the hardware store. Doesn't hurt. So we learn to be blessed by the lives of others, other ages, groups. And that's what the church is all about. And I don't know how you have it here, but we like to mix our younger and older ones together in Sunday school class. I think it has its value. The old ones receive some direction from the young ones, and the young ones may even be blessed by some comments from the seniors. They should. We should have something to share. And not that we have it all together. I'm not trying to imply that. But this morning, to me, I don't care what your age is, if you're a member of this congregation, you're valuable. And I'm here to say, young married couples are a blessing in the church. They are bringing, you know, keeping this generation going. But we also have single young people that are older that are a tremendous blessing that we greatly appreciate. Just this past Thanksgiving, we have a little newsletter that our church prints every just a few pages, every 2 weeks for those away from home in service, and we all get a copy of it. And this one single sister, she's a health nurse, home health nurse, and she was writing. She usually wouldn't write, but she did, and I'm glad she did. Fact is, I thanked her for it. And she said, this morning I was sitting in Cracker Barrel with a lady across the table from me that was criticizing Christianity, and said she was criticizing this lady that knows I'm not interested in being a Christian or interested in the things of God, but she kept on telling them to me. And she was very distraught and upset because of it. And yet this dear sister said, Here I'm sitting across the table from her by invite. Why did she invite her knowing that she was also a Christian? I believe it was something about her life. This young sister told me something. You've heard it. She said, I'm told that you have to be like the world to win the world. But she said, I find it different. I find it different. And she said, my other nurses aren't asked things like that, like I am. It's not always easy to be in that position. But God, they notice something. Don't disappoint them. That could be you. It could be me. I don't know if you've ever had a preacher that did this before, but I told you my title is, I Will Build My Church. Now I'm going to, the rest of the message, I'm going to have a different title. And maybe that's because of this elementary preacher that you have here. But I simply give it this title, Instructions from God for the Church. Maybe in a way we've talked about that. But now I'd like to look at some scriptures. And these weren't given by Jesus necessarily, but by the apostles. And they're here just as much the inspired word of God as the words of Jesus. You believe that? I do. Now turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I've just been blessed. In preparing for this, how much really the Bible speaks about our lives and what God expects of us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now, it says here, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians. We're living in a world today that church isn't that important. You don't have to go to church regularly. But you know, I told you to begin with, church is mentioned 80 times in the New Testament. And I just love these statements about the church. It says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of Thessalonians, to God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he goes on to say, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. And that's instruction from God, that our faith grows exceedingly. And the charity of every one of you, all towards each other, does what? Aboundeth. It doesn't just begin, but it abounds. It's a way of life. Then he says, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, again, some virtues, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. That's what speaks to the world in which God has placed us in. And I want to emphasize, there's other places where the Bible is very clear that we are to be a light to the world as a city that is not hid, but is noticed and seen. That's you and I. We are to be that light. Then he says, which is a manifest, let's go back to verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, whom when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven in his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, which shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. How powerful that is. Now going to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Very similar. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ. Then he has a number of other things here. Then in verse 11 it says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed into my trust. And we could read more there, but we won't. All right, as we think about instructions from God, have another one here. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I'll begin reading in verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us not consider, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Then verse 25, this is an instruction from God, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Now you do believe that the day is approaching. Do you believe it? If you do, it's very important that we forsake not the assembling of ourselves, and so much the more as we see that day approaching. I have such fond memories of a dear older couple in our congregation that had some children in our church. Well, I guess they had very few at that time, but neighboring communities, they had some children. And sometimes Sunday mornings, they would drive over to that community and worship with them. But you could just count on it that Monday mornings, if they didn't stay but over one night or one day, Monday mornings that dear sister would call my wife and say, were there any announcements made in church that we should know about? She could have come home and said, you know, nobody cares that we were gone. Nobody said anything. What was announced, my wife and I go through that a little bit sometimes. We're not that computerish. You know, nowadays, if you can't get it off the computer, why, you don't get it. Forgive me for that. But this dear sister had enough interest in the church that she wanted to know. And she just didn't sit back and pity herself. Had a little self-pity party. Have you ever been to those? And I'll tell you one thing, you don't get much benefit from them. We all know that. But that just blessed me that they had enough interest in the church that I want to know. I'm part of that body. I want to know, was there anything that I need to know about, pray about, or to be able to attend? And that always blessed me at that. And another one that I'd like to, it's also part of this book, James 1:27. You had this in your Sunday school class a few weeks ago, I'm sure. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Doesn't that sound like a lot of different things in one verse? What does to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions and to keeping himself unspotted from the world? What is that combination? But it's in this book for a purpose. God has compassion upon the widows and the widowers and the afflicted. But somehow he wants to use his members to also come by and give encouragement. We have a dear couple in our congregation. My wife and I, years ago, we used to go visit Free Sundays, older people. And sometimes we'd meet this family there. And they always brought their children. And they would sing. And we still talk about this to this young man today. He's teaching school now in another community. But as they came in there and we knew they were going to sing, we made some comment about it. Mama was holding this little two-year-old and we were talking about their singing. And he said, "And I sing bass." It was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. And today he's a good singer, very good singer. He's in a quartet. But it just blessed me. Take your children along. It means something to the widows and the widowers. It means something to the senior citizens. It's living the Christian life. It's following the examples from God. And may God help us. Another one. Had a little discussion on this morning in our Sunday school class here, maybe in a little different perspective. Galatians 6, verse 10. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith." And again, you as fathers and mothers can take those things to heart. They will be a blessing to your family. And they won't be forgotten. They will be remembered for the next generation. I'd just like to make a comment yet. May I suggest that in this dark world in which we live, that the church that has united as a body to the head, Jesus Christ, where there are godly parents that teach and train their children by precept, by example, and godly youth, and older singles, and brothers and sisters of all ages, that love the Lord, the church that is built by the Lord, will be a light in spite of the darkness. I'll give you a little elementary illustration. I have a golf cart. I don't play golf, by the way. In fact, is I've even got one of those little things in my pocket. I don't think I got it in there. What do you call them? But this golf cart, our daughter just lives close, don't have to go out on the road. And so we could use it at night to go back to visit them, especially during the summer. My wife and I enjoy that. We put two lights on the front. They call them headlights. You know, sometimes when I'm back there and I want to go home, I'm kind of disappointed that those lights aren't as bright as they should be. But one thing I've discovered, The darker the night, the brighter the light. And that's when I really need the light on that little golf cart, when it's dark. And I believe that's the church of Jesus Christ. We are living in a dark world. And I've read some interesting articles recently. And I think I have it here somewhere, and I don't know if I can find it or not. One of the newspaper editors made this comment. He said, the way the churches are talking about same-sex marriage, Christians, so to speak, same-sex marriages and all these things. And he said, even the atheists are disappointed in the Christians. And really, so-called Christians are going two directions. The one group is telling the government how they should live and what they should do. And others are seeking to live the Christian life in spite of what the government does. And I think we need to recognize that importance. I have a few statements here I'd like to read. I don't remember really where I got them all. Well, maybe I don't have them. I thought I did. The church is not made up of people who are better than the rest, but of people who are trying to become better than they are. And here's another one that I think is important for us parents. It's anonymous. If you don't firmly program your children, if you don't firmly program your children's mind with truth, someone else will do so with half-truth, untruth, and unimportant truth. We're talking about doing good. I have a little poem here that my uncle wrote. And some years ago, and I had mislaid it and had just found it recently. He's been deceased for quite a number of years. But he was one of those, there's two subjects that you could talk to him about. One was Freundschaft, relationship. He loved that. He could take you all over the place with that. And the other was spiritual things. But if you start talking about plowing the field, making money, you lost him. You lost him. He wasn't interested in that. And because of an infliction that he had, the doctor told him, you need to go to Florida every winter. And I have seen him get up and say, we're getting ready to go to Florida with tears. He didn't want to go. He wanted to stay home. But when he did go, he would go to the nursing home, do flower beds, a host of other things. And my wife and I were on the way home from Belize one time, the first time we'd been out of the country. We were young, fairly young married. And so we decided to stop in Florida to visit my dear uncle. And one day he said, I'd like to take you visiting. I didn't want to go visiting. We were on vacation. But out of respect, we followed him down the street, went to the door, knocked on the door, and a husband came in. He said, come on in. He took us back to the bedroom. There lay his wife in bed. He proceeded to tell us that she's been in bed for 36 years. You know what she said? You wouldn't have had to tell him that. I didn't speak a lot of words that day, but my head was hanging as they went out to the walks. Here I was supposed to be encouraging her, and she was speaking to me. Others, as we care for others and help their burdens bear, our own cares are lighter, as we with others share. As we listen to their trials and help to ease their pains, our own once heavy burdens no longer seem the same. As we think of others and help them smooth the way, our own load becomes lighter and brighter every day. As we share with others the gifts that God to us has shared, lives become more pleasant by knowing that we cared. As we do for others, like as Christ has done for us, life abounds in fullness, as in God we fully trust. Shall we kneel in prayer?